Welcome back to the Jordan Syatt mini podcast. Thank you so much for listening. And I'm very excited for this episode for two main reasons. First and foremost, Susan Niebergall, Inner Circle coach, came on and we spoke about all things muscle growth. So strength training for muscle growth, nutrition for muscle growth, mindset for muscle growth, everything muscle growth. I really think you're going to like it a lot, especially if you would like to build more muscle. And also, as you'll see, finally, the sound quality on my podcast has been improved. I'm really excited about it. So thank you so much for listening. If you enjoy the episode, please leave a rating on iTunes. They help a ton. Huge thank you to everyone who's done that so far. Let's get into it. Susan, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. We have to pretend like we weren't just talking for 3 minutes before the recording began.
If you didn't say that, I was going to.
All right. So, Susan, actually, we usually say this for the end, but let's just start with this. I think it's way better. Susan, before we begin, where can people find you on social media if they want to follow you?
Instagram, Susan Niebergall Fitness. And that is, by the way, it's not Susanny or Suzanne. I've gotten a lot of Suzannes recently. I'm not sure what that's about, but it's Susan Niebergall Fitness on Instagram and on YouTube are the two main ones. Twitter as well. A lot more happening on Twitter and Facebook. It's all the same. Susan Niebergall Fitness, not Suzanne.
Amazing. And so what I want to start off by talking about is I know on the last podcast that you and I did together on my podcast, we spoke about sort of the difficulties that you were going through in regard to building muscle, in regard to especially it, not the strength training part, like you crushed the workout aspect of it. It was the difficulty of switching from essentially spending the vast majority of your entire life trying to lose weight and eating fewer calories to being okay with adding more calories into your diet and like really like getting over the mental block, the emotional block of that. And we had a really cool talk and came up with some strategies to help you do that. So just fill me in, like what's been going on since then? What has been going really well? What's been a struggle? And let's go from there.
It's gotten a lot better. I will say this. I'm in month three right now. And kind of we had mapped this out as a 4 month thing. And I think I'm going to extend it just because it's taking me this long to get into any kind of rhythm, which it's really even not that much of a rhythm, but it's taken me this long to really settle. So how long is that?
How long has it taken
two and a half months.
Just the idea of being like, hey, it took 2.5 months just to get used to, just to like get into a rhythm with it. It's like people want immediate results from week one of doing anything. And you're here saying that it took you 2.5 months just to get into a rhythm.
And it's still not, you know, I'm not super comfortable all the time, but it took that long for sure.
What is the most difficult part for you?
Right now, it is eating. My stomach just hasn't felt great. And so I feel like right now I am back to, I'm getting full faster. So I am trying to find higher calorie foods that I can eat in lesser amounts. So I'm heading into the fat category a whole lot more than I ever have been, ever, actually. But I was getting into a really good rhythm after you and I spoke about I was adding this shake. I would make this shake 4 times a week. And that shake probably had 450 calories in it about. Protein powder, oats, peanut butter, frozen berries, water, ice, all that, some Greek yogurt. And doing that 4 times a week. And then the other days, I just eat kind of my normal way of eating. And that's worked really well for me just because the liquid calories will fill me up temporarily. Like they won't keep me full for the rest of the day. I'll be ready to eat again later, you know? And that was the biggest problem before. So that I've gotten into a much better rhythm with.
Amazing. And so let's talk about what foods are making it easier for you to hit your calories and to essentially like what foods, if any, like 1, 2, 3 specific foods that have helped you increase your calories without like making you essentially feel overstuffed, without impeding your training? Like what foods have you really started to incorporate more?
Peanut butter. That's a big one. peanut butter has not really been in my life for a while, just for no real apparent reason. Just I'd gone so long not having it, and I just almost kind of forgot about it to some degree. But so peanut butter, it really has been the main focal point of where I'm getting a lot of calories. Like if I need some calories kind of quick, I'll just go throw a peanut butter sandwich together or something like that. And maybe one slice of bread and more peanut butter or something like that, as opposed to two slices of bread, because that would probably stick with me a little bit longer. Nuts, I've brought nuts back into the fray a little bit, and I'm being a little judicious with those just because they were my biggest problem for years and years and years and years. And so there's a lot of mindset issues with that, bringing those back in. But those two really are the two, because I can eat those, get some calories in, and not feel stuffed, which was what was happening before.
I love this on so many levels, especially the practicality of it, right? So, and one thing that you and I have both been talking about for fat loss has been the big ass salads, right?
Yeah.
And we've seen it in the inner circle, how incredible it's been just on our own personal Instagrams and YouTubes and everything, how many people have been positively impacted by, it's one thing to say, eat more vegetables. It's clearly another thing entirely to say, yeah, you should have one big salad every day, because people have done very well with that. And that's sort of why I wanted to ask you about specific foods, because you're not naming 27 different foods or various supplements or like whatever. You're like, yeah, just peanut butter and nuts. It's very simple, very basic. Yeah. And it, because everyone is always, what are your best muscle building tips? What are your best tips? Just quickly list off your top 5,000 for me. It's like, okay, listen, here's the deal.
Yeah.
I was struggling with getting more calories in. So I went to foods that I know have higher calories that are relatively calorie dense and aren't going to fill me up. And you chose two of the best ones, peanut butter and nuts. I am very interested to know, what do you mean by nuts? How in the past they were difficult for you? They were a struggle for you.
They were a big reason for me just not making progress nutritionally, because I was that person that thought, nuts were healthy. Well, I mean, they are healthy, but I paid no attention to calorie counts with nuts whatsoever. So I would be that person that would go grab a handful of almonds and whatever, and in that handful there's probably 250 calories, and then I would do that multiple times a day and think, oh, almonds, they're great, and when I look back and look at and think, oh, it makes it a little tough to go back and reach for some nuts every now and again,
100%. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where nuts are fine to have, but what a lot of people don't realize is how many calories are in a very small portion of nuts. And not only they don't realize how many calories are in it, they don't realize how much they're actually eating. It's so easy throughout the day to take a couple here, take a couple there, take a handful here, whatever, and think, oh no, I didn't have more than, I don't know, 12. But if you actually count how many you have, it's like easily 30, 40, 50, 60. And that's like, you're getting into the high hundreds there of calories. Yeah.
Easily. And now I know, I mean, I understand, and I'm in a different place, but it's still, it's back in the back of your head. So, I'm better with that now though. I'm much better. But when I first started bringing nuts back in, that was tough. That piece was real tough, but that it's going much better. It's going much better. I feel like I'm able to, stay on top of the calories now. The scale has been a freaking trip. It looks like the best heart rate monitor. It has spiked. I've had three ginormous spikes. Well, to me, they're ginormous, which I've not really ever experienced, because I've never really stepped on a scale in a time of fat loss or muscle gain until now. It's all been maintenance. And so the scale just kind of before, when I was hopping on the scale, would just stay in the same vicinity, the same 3 pounds just here and there. But I would shoot up 3 pounds overnight. And it's like, holy shit. I went through that. I experienced that. And I had the moment of holy shit. But I knew what was going to happen. And of course it settles back down. It always does. And now that I've lived through that three times, it's fantastic. I feel so much more at ease now that I've been through it, you know, and I've seen it, both sides of that. So I know what's coming. I'm not as good at predicting when it's going to come down as you are, but I'm within 24 hours of when it will come back. And it settles back.
And the best part is, I mean, aside from being able to predict it, the best part is that you just know it's going to come back. And that's really the power of it, right? Where it's like, you see it spike, you see it do whatever it does for whatever fucking reason. And instead of freaking out and calling it quits and going back into a deficit, because that's where most people screw up muscle building phases. Most people screw up muscle building phases because they go in this circle. The first circle, well, here's what happens. Most people, they'll go into, well, we'll start from the fat loss perspective. They'll start losing fat, right? And then so they start losing fat. And after a certain period of time, they're like, okay, cool. Like, I'm going to lose fat now. And so they go into a deficit and like, oh, great. This is amazing. I'm losing fat. And then after a certain amount of time, either they get to a point where they're like, oh, man, like, I want to start building muscle now. I feel like I'm getting too small. I'm losing my strength, blah, blah, blah. And or they get to a point where they can't be in a deficit anymore because they're just not following it. They lose their motivation. They're restricting their calories too low, whatever it is. And they go into a muscle building phase. And they go into muscle building phase to start building muscle. And they're like, oh, great, this is awesome. I'm eating more calories. This is fantastic. And then a week, 2 weeks, whatever goes by, is all of a sudden they gain weight. And they freak out and they're like, oh my God, I've gained weight. My pants are a little bit tighter. What am I going to do? Blah, blah, blah. And then they go back into a fat loss phase and they do this. And it's like 1 or 2 or 3 weeks at a time in each phase. And they literally just spin their wheels over and over and over and over and never actually stick with anything consistently, which is why I love how you said from the very beginning, it's taken you 2.5 months just to get in a groove with it. And you're going to extend the time period because number one, it takes time to actually make it happen. But number two, because you're being honest and objective with yourself, you're not allowing yourself to believe the bullshit that sometimes your brain will tell you. It's like, no, you're going to call bullshit on yourself and do what you know you need to do.
And I've had to do that. The month one, I had to call myself out more times than I can tell you. And I think you and I talked about this, how I was full. And there were many times I was full. But I would take it to another level and say, well, I can't eat the rest of my calories, you know, whatever. I'm just too full. That was bullshit. You know, I was basically afraid to eat those extra whatever calories, you know, whatever I had left to eat. And I had to call myself out on that several times at the beginning. That was clear. And once I got over that, then I felt like I was in kind of now let's find the foods that work.
You know, it's so funny. It's such an important thing to discuss, and I really don't really hear many people talking about this. It's the mental side, the psychological side, the stuff that you and I always talk about in the inner circle. But the point where you're like, you felt full, and so you try and justify not eating as many calories as you know you should because you say you feel full, but you know also that your goal is to build muscle, and that means that you have to hit your calories in the same way that if someone's goal is fat loss, then yeah, like there are going to be times that they're hungry, but if they want to continue losing fat, you're going to have to hit your calories, which either means changing your food so that you end up being more full on fewer calories, but also understanding that a little bit of hunger is part of the process. Same with the other way. It's like with building muscle, you don't have to be in a massive surplus, but a surplus is going to optimize your muscle gain. And so if you really want to do it, you're going to sometimes have to eat when you're not really that hungry, when maybe you even are full, and call yourself out on that and be objective with it and say, listen, this isn't making me comfortable right now, but I also know that I've never done anything great staying in my comfort zone.
Absolutely that. And I think once I got over that piece, and then I had a spike after I came back from New York. I knew after that one trip where we all went out for dinner that night, I knew I was going to have a spike after that. And sure enough, it happened and it freaked me out temporarily, but that was the first one. And I think after that, I stopped with the bullshit, and I saw the scale move, and I went through that whole cycle once. And said, okay, I can do this now. No more no more saying I'm too full to eat, because that was just bullshit. And I don't do that anymore. I have, my stomach's just been a little bit on edge. I think that's more stress than it is right now. So I'm trying to plan calories around that a little bit more, you know, higher calorie thing. So I don't have to eat quite as much quantity. And that's helped significantly. But yeah, it's taken a while to do that. But I think it's really important to point out, I had to call myself out on my own bullshit. And I think people that are trying to lose fat have to do the same thing. You know, if they're saying that they're counting everything, maybe they're not quite counting that handful or this or that, and they've been struggling to lose fat. I mean, it goes both ways.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. And it's a really, really good point that we bring up time and time again, that if you really want to achieve anything, not just fitness related, you have to be very honest with yourself. And the reality is if we really want to get very, very primal with it, our main goal, just as humans, as animals, is to survive.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. That's all. We just want to survive. And if we're surviving, then the next goal is to reproduce, but that's a different discussion. So in order to survive, like, our body is, and our mind specifically, is going to, when it senses fear, like when we're scared of something, it's going to come up with reasons to justify not doing it. It's going to come up with very convincing reasons to justify not doing what you need to do in order to achieve your goals. It's just like, that's what our body and mind will try and tell us to do. But it's so important to develop the skill and habit, and I use those two words very deliberately because it is a skill and it is a habit, to be objective with analyzing your emotions, how you respond to your emotions, and then being able to change your actions and to make sure that you don't allow those emotions to dictate your actions.
Oh, 100%. Very, very, very aware of that during this phase, because it could be very easy to fall right back. Very easy. But as I've gone on in this, and I'm in probably the middle of month three, I'm weight-wise, I'm exactly where I want to be. I'm like 2.5 pounds up, which is exactly where I want to be. And it's kind of, anytime I have a spike, or I've had dips too, as well as spikes. I mean, I've had both. And whenever it settles, it kind of settles back to right where I've been, you know, happy. A pound a month is pretty much what's been happening. And I told you just the other day that I felt huge. You know, there are times where I just feel like I am, you know, this ginormous Oompa Loompa, I said. And then I go and look in the mirror and it's like, no, you don't look like that at all. Not at all. And I had to call myself out on that too. And you called me out on it. I mean, it's a process, but if you can be honest with yourself, I swear you're going to really start to see progress. But that's a big, big thing. We all have to get over that hump. I mean, I have to get over it.
You know, I think that conversation that we had the other day is really important for people to sort of just get a better understanding of why I responded the way I did, because I think it's going to help people better understand how to, number one, call themselves on their own bullshit, and then also if they're coaches, to call their clients out on their bullshit, which is basically when you were having like a shitty day, like with a number of different factors. Like it wasn't just this, but we all have shitty days, and we all have shitty days with work, with friends, coworkers, family, whatever it is. And among the shittiness, you're like, yeah, and you know, just like, to the effect of, and I don't know the exact words, to the effect of like, yeah, and also, you know, feeling like an Oompa Loompa.
Yeah, I did.
Feeling like an Oompa Loompa and not happy about it. And again, I don't remember my exact words, but my response was to the effect of, I'm not going to tolerate that. And basically, reason being, and I spoke about this earlier today, as a younger coach, I would have been more quick to say to the effect of like, oh my God, don't say that about yourself. Like you look amazing, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. But as I've progressed as a coach and as a human being, I've realized that tolerating that behavior and coddling that behavior and handholding that behavior, it allows people to consciously or unconsciously repeat it, because they want to hear that type of stuff over and over again. And and by tolerating either that behavior from other people and or tolerating that behavior from yourself, you allow yourself to get in the habit of
speaking poorly about yourself so other people will speak highly of you. And it's a very, very bad place to go, which is why I was like, I'm not going to tolerate that. It's okay to feel bad. Never going to tell you how to feel. But when you're deliberately gaining weight or like focusing on your fitness goals, like that's not like a real, like for the purpose of building muscle and just getting stronger and aesthetic goals and personal goals, like that's not like a real problem. Family problems, life problems, health issues. These are real problems, and I will be there to support in any way possible. But when we're talking to ourselves and to our friends and our clients and our colleagues, and people come out with this type of talk, which is it's very common. If you really want to be a good friend, I think sometimes being empathetic is actually giving someone the power to not speak poorly about themselves. And the way to do that is not to coddle the behavior, but say, hey, I'm not going to let anybody speak to my friend that way. So don't you dare speak to yourself that way because you're my friend. So don't fucking do that.
Absolutely. And I think that the way you addressed it with me was perfect. And kind of a jolt and in a good way, you know? It's really in the big scheme of things, it's really insignificant. Not only is it insignificant, but it wasn't true either.
Exactly.
It wasn't true. And it's insignificant anyway, really. And it was a culmination of just, well, let's just pile on. Let me just pile on this shit, you know? And that has come up a couple times for me that I feel a certain way, but then I actually see myself. I'm like, no, you know, you don't look like that. And I've called myself out, by the way, several times about that, because I think during this process, especially after you eat and you're full, that's when it happens the most. You know, when you're full, you just feel stuffed. And when you feel stuffed, you equate that to being fat. And it's not the same. And so,
perfect said.
Yeah. And so I mistook that. So for 30 years, I thought feeling full was fat. And it's not. It's not the same thing. And of course, you start digesting your food and then you start to move and thing you feel like a normal person. It's part of just eating. And the way I'm eating now, especially on the days that I'm eating some more calories, yeah, I feel full. And I just have to tell myself you're full. It's not that you're fat, you're full.
Yeah, it's like one of the more common questions that I get is like, how come I look so much leaner in the morning than I do at night? It's like, oh, well, you haven't eaten for about 8 hours, nor have you drank. So your stomach probably looks flatter because you don't have anything fucking inside you. And of course, when you put food in your mouth and it goes down your throat and into your stomach, it's going to fill you up. And then water is going to hydrate you and you're going to get more full. It's like, it's so interesting how logically everybody knows this. This is logical, common knowledge. But when we're looking in the mirror after we just had a big meal and our stomach is a little bit protruding, we think, mm-hmm. oh my God, I'm getting so fat. It's like, you need to talk out loud to yourself and stop like letting yourself be such an idiot. Like, would you ever tell your friend who just like, would you ever tell your worst enemy after they like had a big meal? Like, oh geez, like you're looking pretty fat. It's like, no, they just had a big fucking meal. Shut the fuck up.
That's exactly right. But we do it. It's fascinating. And something that I think just guys, you have to be aware of because it's easy to fall into that trap. So easy to do that.
100%. Now, Susan, I know the answer to this, but I think it's more powerful coming from you and it's setting up another question that I have. Susan, how old are you?
59.
Susan, you are 59 and you are strong as fuck. And you're going through phases of building muscle and you're doing all the things that so many people and we'll specifically say women, because you and I both work with a vast majority of women. Not all women, but a major portion, probably about 70% of the inner circle is women. And an incredible, incredible group of men and women in there. But one of the more common things that you and I get, especially from women, is that, you know, well, I'm 40 or I'm 50 or I'm 60 and you don't get it because it's different for me. And can't, like I literally got this question several times today was, can you build muscle as a woman over 50?
Oh my God.
And every time I'm like, oh dear Lord. Yeah, you fucking can. And so like, Susan, talk to me. Can you build muscle as a woman over 50? Because I'm going to say, no, you can't. So, Susan, you got to prove me wrong. Can you build muscle as a woman over 50?
Hell yes. I think I've built all my muscle over 50. I will say this, though. You have to work at it. It's not, and I think that's part of the issue that I see that when women talk to me, yes, you can do it, but make no mistake, it takes effort. You have to go all in if you want to do it. And I don't care what age you are. I mean, I think you have to go all in just in general, but I think even as you get older, I think you do have to put in maybe a little extra effort, but it can be done. It's not impossible. And it's, and here's the other thing that comes up, and I don't know if you get this, people are amazed that there aren't special exercises for us. You know, like, I mean, I get asked that all the time. And I have people that say they want to work with me because I will understand what they're going through, which, yes, I will. But they also seem to think that I will program them differently. And I'm like, you don't understand. I'm not going to program you any differently. You know, of course, not including injuries or whatever history, but on a general rule, no, you're going to do the same shit that other people do. You may do it a different variation of it or something, but there's no special exercises that are magic for people over 50. I just want to say that.
It's so funny. Like in any other situation, if someone was like, oh yeah, no, we have a different set of tools or appliances for people over 50, people would be like, what are you being like ageist? Like, what is going on? Like, why are you like discriminating against me because of my age? But all of a sudden people are like, well, what are the exercises for people over 50? It's like, what if I was like, well, yeah, so these are actually the cooking appliances for all people 49 and under. Once you're 50, we have separate cooking appliances because you're older. Like, you can't use these. What, are you serious? Right. Absolutely not. But all of a sudden, like, you have exercises, like people want exercises for people over 50. It's like, no, it's the same fucking exercises. That's it.
It is.
Here's a question, because you bring up a good point. You're saying if you want to build muscle, like you're going to have to really work for it, especially if you're over 50 or like whatever. I think in general, people don't understand how fucking hard it is to build muscle. It's like you are literally building tissue in your body.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is not an easy – it's literally the exact opposite of what your body wants to do. Your body does not want to create more mass. It's like it's a very difficult and energy costly process. So in order to do that, you have to work outrageously hard. And we already spoke a lot about the nutrition side of things, but Susan, is the majority of your training lifting like the 2.5 pound pink dumbbells?
No. And you know, and that's so funny because people really don't get that part, that you need to make yourself super uncomfortable in the gym. And that does not mean, and everyone listen, because I want to make this very clear.
She's going to fucking go in on you right now. Go get him.
Because I get so pissed about this. You're at one end of the dumbbell rack and it's 10 pounds and someone's telling you to lift heavy. And you're like, well, I can't pick up 50 pounds, you know. No one told you to go pick up 50 pounds, but you can pick up something heavier than that one at the beginning of the rack. You know, there's a whole lot of in between there. You know, it's not an extreme. And that's what people have in their heads because they're afraid. I get that. It's because they're afraid. And you need to push yourself. And it's part of the video, actually, I'm starting to put together now on the biggest mistakes I see middle-aged women make. And that's one of the top ones is you just don't push hard enough in the gym. You're way stronger than you think. I know people are afraid, and maybe getting someone in person to help you to make sure your technique and all that, do it. Just do it. Whatever it takes, do it. But if you want to really start putting on some muscle, you better do that because you hit a 10 dumbbell and 50 million reps isn't going to do what you think it's going to do.
I fucking love that. What a clip. What a great audio soundbite that was. So like so true. It's one of my favorite sayings is like lifting weights isn't supposed to tickle. It's really not. Lifting weights is not supposed to tickle. And people are like, well, one of the questions I ask is how long are you spending in the gym for your muscle building workouts? And they're like, oh, I don't know, like 20 or 30 minutes. And I'm like, Yeah. Not that you can't get great workouts in 20, 30 minutes. You can. But if you're really straining, and I don't mean by straining, I don't mean blowing your spine out of your back. By straining, I mean working through a proper range of motion, a full range of motion with slow and steady controlled technique, and having a very challenging time to maintain that technique while without using momentum, solely using your muscle. And if your face isn't scrunching up like just a complete and the ugliest grimace you could ever imagine in order to finish the last 2 to 3 reps, you're not straining your muscles enough. Like, you're just not. Yep. It doesn't have to be like that on every single exercise, every single day. Like, sometimes you're not going to be feeling well, sometimes whatever it is, but on a very consistent basis, you're going to have to work through very painful repetitions. And again, painful doesn't mean joint pain. It doesn't mean sharp shooting pain down your spine. It means your muscles will be burning and screaming at you. And that's part of the process. And again, I think a lot of people hear that and they get really intimidated by it. It's like, it doesn't have to be intimidating, and it doesn't have to mean that you have to be screaming and shouting and banging your head against the wall. It doesn't mean you have to be like using a ton of chalk. It doesn't mean you have to be doing like crazy. You don't even have to use the barbell if you don't want to. It's this, even if you are trying to get more toned arms, if you just want to get more defined arms, then you're doing, I don't know, tricep press downs, and you want to get more like defined underarms, build more muscle there, then you're going to have to use weight that is very, very difficult.
And the great example is this last program that I have from you that really, what is there, 4 exercises, maybe five on some of these. And I'm resting longer than I have before. This is the first time, the last month too, I did this too, where like set number 2, I'm like, oh, fuck. I've got to go that way. I mean, it's that hard. It's that hard. And there's not many exercises, yet I'm leaving the gym even more tired than I have ever because of that kind of effort.
It's so important for people to understand. It's interesting. I think for fat loss, we tend to say that nutrition is really the driver. Right.
Yeah.
And you say that you said your example is amazing, how nutrition is the driver. You said like training is the passenger.
Yeah.
I love that. For muscle gain, I really think training is the driver.
I think it has to be.
It has to be because and we can talk. I think it's an important discussion. People ask all the time, like, can you build muscle in a calorie deficit? And the short answer is yes. The longer answer is we'll talk about it. I think what's really, really important to remember is that you can lose fat while being in a calorie deficit without strength training. You cannot gain muscle while being in a surplus without strength training.
Right.
You can only build muscle if you're strength training. That is the only, you're not going to build muscle no matter how much you eat unless you are properly stressing your muscles and forcing them to adapt. That is the only way to do it. And just by the nature of that, fat loss, nutrition is going to be number one. Muscle gain, strength training has to be number one. And I think after strength training, I really think protein might even come before calories, or maybe equal with calories, because protein is the only way. If you're not getting enough protein, you're not going to be building muscle. Like you're just not, regardless of even calorie intake, to my knowledge. If that's wrong, then and I find out if that's wrong, I'm more than happy to clarify that statement. To amend that statement. But, and I'll say this, up until relatively recently, up until the last 3 months or so, I would have more or less always said that in order to build muscle, you had to be in a surplus. But there is newer research that's come out that's found even in highly trained individuals, in a calorie deficit, you can build muscle as long as you're, number one, strength training properly, and number two, your protein intake is sufficient, and that has to be very high. But here's the thing. There's a difference between being able to build muscle and optimizing muscle growth. These are two very different things. So people often ask, can you build muscle in a calorie deficit? As of this moment, I will amend what I've said for years and say, yes, you can. But to clarify, just because you can do it does not mean that you're optimizing your ability to do it. And if you really want to make the most of your time and the most of your training and the most of your effort, then going through brief periods of being in a surplus to optimize muscle growth will then make subsequent phases of fat loss and subsequent phases of muscle growth much more time efficient and effective, rather than trying to just grit your way through building muscle in a calorie deficit and it taking much longer and it being much harder than it already is.
Yeah. I mean, it's way more efficient to not do it that way. Way more efficient to get in a surplus, make sure your protein's where it needs to be, and then go push yourself in the gym. For God's sakes, push yourself in the gym.
Let me ask you this, Susan. What are your, and this is like completely not on a separate topic, but it's going to take some time to think, I would imagine. If you could pick your, we'll call it top five muscle building exercises for people to do, which exercises would you pick?
Wow. I right off the top, I'll say push-ups. Right off
push-ups.
The top.
Now why?
Master the push-up. Because if you're completely engaged the way you need to be on a push-up, and then you can start doing all these variations that are completely brutal, included weighted push-ups. Push-ups for sure. That I would say, because everyone can start with that somehow. Then I think I would add deadlifts and RDLs in there. RDLs especially, I like it, probably maybe even more. I find them extremely challenging from the control perspective, and loading those. So I would add those. I would add Bulgarian split squats. Holy shit. Yes. They're the best thing ever, ever. And, I can't leave chin-ups out, and learning how to engage and do, progress in a chin-up from the floor in hollow holds to inverted rows to, assisted to moving your body weight, and learning how to develop that. And then overhead pressing of any kind of shoulder movement. I've listed way too many, but yeah.
No, that's five. That's perfect. And what I love about that is two of them are body weight movements, which is really important, because a lot of people, well, I can't strength train because I don't belong to a gym. It's like, that's fucking bullshit, number one. Number two is you don't need to belong to a gym in order to strength train.
Right. Like, right.
I think a lot of people very much overestimate what they need in order to strength train and build muscle. Now, again, I think there's a difference between being able to and optimizing it. And I think having a gym membership would be more likely to optimize your ability to build muscle for a number of reasons. Yes, because you have more exercises and more opportunities and more variety, but also from the psychological perspective, I think there's a lot to be said for having a place to go outside of your home in which you only work out. I think sometimes it can be very difficult to motivate yourself to work out in your own home, which is one of the reasons why I don't like to work in my own home. I don't like to work out in my own home. I think
me too. Me.
It's very helpful from an emotional, psychological perspective to have a place where you can go and you can put your headphones in, put your hood up, put your hat on, whatever it is, and just go to work and then come back. And like, that's almost like your sanctuary where you can just like get shit done. But push-ups, chin-ups, and in addition to chin-ups, we could also say inverted rows if you can't do chin-ups, because it's like a very similar movement. But overhead presses, RDLs, Bulgarian split squats, these are all things that you don't need an obscene amount of weight. You could do with dumbbells very easily at home if you need. And you could get a set of like power block dumbbells on Amazon for, I believe, less than $100.
Yes, like, you can.
This is all very, very, very available if you want, regardless of where you are.
I totally agree. You can do so much at home if that's where you choose to do it. But it's interesting because someone contacted me earlier today about, not having time there. They have this, they have that, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, everyone has that. Everyone has schedules. Everyone has this, that, and the other. You to spend 20 minutes driving to a gym, doing an hour workout, spending 20 minutes driving home. You have to do that. you can have some minimal stuff at home and, or start with no stuff for heaven's sakes, you know, but just do it. Start.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And I think I love that you started with mastering the push-up. I think there's so much to be said for mastering your body weight before you feel like you need to progress to extra weight, to external weights. And I'm really glad that you said that, mainly because so many people, the intimidation of muscle building inside their head and inside like a deep place, they think that means going into a scary gym and doing big scary things, when in reality it's like, no, you can literally just start by mastering your push-up. And if you can't do a push-up on the ground yet, then put your hands on a countertop and do push-ups that way. It's like, and work your way down slowly. There's when you and I say, something is always better than nothing, I don't think people fully understand that we're being completely serious, and that they have no idea how powerful and how much progress they can make from just doing something as simple as mastering their push-up.
Yep. It's huge. And if you really want to get fancy, okay, then add some bodyweight squats and then do push-ups and do those back and forth and back and forth. You know, you can get a great workout just from doing that.
I love that. I love that. Susan, I have to ask, is there anything related to either what we've spoken about, muscle building as a woman, muscle building as a woman over 50, like anything, or anything outside of what we've spoken about, that you want people to take home with them that you want to discuss?
I really just want everyone to know that, and gosh, I use this as kind of my mantra, maybe, that it, you may think it's too late, but it's really never too late. And I think if someone that's knocking on the door of 60 can do this and do this successfully, that anyone can do it. I am no one special. I am just someone that works hard. That's it. I don't have any special gifts, athletic gifts at all. I have to work hard for all of it. And it's just, I don't want everyone to think that you can't do it. It's too late. It's passed you by. That's bullshit. And you can do it. And you and I are here to spread that word.
I love that. That's amazing. Susan, do you have any idea how much I love you?
Yeah, because I love you more. Yeah, I do.
That's ridiculous. Don't say that. That's a lie. It's not good to lie, Susan. You know I love you more, okay? Thank you for coming out. Yeah. And I know if you want to follow Susan, she gave you her social media handles at the very beginning of the podcast. So go back and listen to the very beginning. And if you really would like to hang out with Susan and I, then come join us in the Inner Circle. The
Please.
Link is in the show notes, sfinnercircle.com. Susan and I are the coaches, new training programs every month, nutrition. And the best part about it, as Susan, you know, I'm not even going to say it, Susan, because you know what it is. You're going to say it anyway. What is the most amazing part about the Inner Circle?
Our Facebook community, Facebook group. You all will not see another group like this one. Guaranteed. There's not a single Facebook group out there that's better than the one we have. Everyone is so supportive. They're going to hold your feet to the fire. And if you need help, you need modifications, you have a question, everyone hops in all the time. It's amazing. And you and I are consistently blown away by that every day.
It's insanity. It's one of those things where we've both been a part of many, many online communities, fitness communities over the years. And we're also both very clear about saying this isn't our doing. This is truly like some form of magic in which the community has bonded together over the years and created this outrageously welcoming, encouraging, supportive group in which negativity and in like any form of negativity or any form of pessimism, any form of lack of encouragement, it's not tolerated. It's not only not tolerated, but it doesn't exist. And this is really what we talk about. The reason we love this so much is because, yes, you can have the best training program in the world and you can have the best nutrition program in the world, but if you're not following it, it means jack shit. And Susan and I both very much believe that one of the best ways to stick to something consistently is to have an outrageously strong community behind you. and a community that you can go to and for support when your family isn't there, a community that you can go to for support when you're not feeling like you're making as much progress you'd like, as much for support when you want a question answered, when you just want a place to go where you would know you will always have people behind you. And that's what makes the Inner Circle so great, is the people involved, is the members. It's incredible. So we hope to see you there.
We do. We would love it.
Susan, thank you so much. I love you, and I will see you in the Inner Circle.
Absolutely. Love you. Take care.
Bye.
That wraps it up for this episode of the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Susan, thank you so much for coming on. And if you enjoyed this episode, please leave a rating on iTunes. They really do help a ton. So thank you to everyone who's done that so far. Have a wonderful day. Talk to you soon.